When the preacher gets up on a Sunday morning, I wonder if you ever receive what they say like this. And if you can't see me in any way, whether you ever feel like you're being sprayed with a garden hose. It would be extremely memorable if I'd plugged it into a tap, but I thought I'd save you from that. But does it ever feel like that? And it's kind of like water off the proverbial duck's back. Here's how God wants to bring his word alive, Sunday by Sunday, indeed, day by day. A totally different way of receiving the truth of God. Does it ever feel like this? And again, if you can't see me, that you are a glass into which water is being accurately poured, that actually fills you up, that changes your life. Do you have anybody in your life who brings Jesus and God's word alive for you like this? Somebody in the 96 hours of prayer in the prayer chapel there, as we heard John say, you can talk with God, you can hear from God anywhere, but this is a dedicated space, a 24/7 prayer chapel. One person had this experience. They heard God speaking to them, not audibly, but like deep calling too deep in the roar of your waterfalls, speaking like this, calling them by name and saying, effectively, in a way that they got down here. And if you've ever been spoken to by somebody who really gets you, who speaks like that to you, you'll know what I mean. Who speaks to you down here, and they said, you are really, really loved. They'd heard this in 1,000 times in sermons in church. I mean, they really had, you know. It had been sprayed all over them along the decades. But this was just deep calling to deep. You're really loved, and I really believe in you. That was it. 2 hours. But they told me it was worth it. God wants to say this in whatever way is right for you. Do you have anyone in your life who communicates God's love, his passion for you, and his belief in you like that? You see, going into the Brixton prison, that's what God wants to do through the team there. And God isn't looking for a favor for volunteers who say, oh, I can just about fit it in. He is inviting people to the honor of getting out his word of deep calling to deep in a personal way. One person who does this for me, he communicates to me through one of these. Have you ever seen these before? He's very old school. It's a lot quicker to go by Facebook or email or Twitter, but he doesn't touch that stuff with a barge pole. He's quite a bit older. His name's Daniel. He's kind of been for the last 28 years like, some people call it like a father in the faith to me. And he sends these old school things to me called letters with my name on. They're written in his fountain pen. And every Christmas and sometimes other times, I've kept them all. They're a personal letter for me. And I won't tell you what they say, but it's Jesus speaking to me. It's Jesus speaking to me. And he finishes it always with these three words, still missing you. And yeah, it's like Jesus speaking to me. Do you have people who, whether they write letters or you've got the privilege of meeting them and you've got a greater strength, a clearer vision, just a bigger heart to serve Jesus? Because they do. And although some people say, Daniel, you're 30 years out of date, mate. Nobody writes letters anymore. But Daniel tells me his aspiration is to be 2018 years out of date. That's what he says. Because he wants his life to be one where Jesus speaks through him, and Jesus does through a letter. This morning, in a moment, and in the coming Sundays, we're going to hear a letter. And I believe, really passionately, it's a letter written for you, for in here, and for me. Because this is how God wants to speak his word. Sorry, I'm giving you eye contact there. I'm just trying to give eye contact to everyone. He really does, though. He really does. And you can receive God's word like the other hose pipe. He wants to speak to you, not necessarily through the sermon, but through his Holy Spirit. Paul, this man Paul, who's called Saint Paul, who we've never met, but God is using him to speak his word from his father heart to your heart. And he's speaking to a man called Timothy, who's a disciple, and your name might not be Timothy and you might not be a bloke, but God wants to use it to speak to you of the same passion that God has for you and the same purpose that God has for you as he had for Timothy. As Eleanor comes forward to bring God's word to the second letter to Timothy, I'm going to pray that we'd receive it in this way. Father God, if the only thing we receive this morning is that you, the Lord and King of heaven and our Father, have a passion and a purpose for us, may you root that certainty deep in our hearts. May we hear your word to each of us that is God-breathed, that teaches and corrects and trains in righteousness, that equips every one of us for all your purposes. Amen.
So this is the second letter to Timothy, chapter 1. And if you've got a Bible in front of you, it's page 1195. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Philegius and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me till he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. This is the word of the Lord.
So if you can, put yourself in Timothy's place. One of the things people experienced when Jesus talked with them was that they were like the most important person on earth. Even if they were one of a crowd of 5,000 and more, it was like God was talking to them personally. This is a letter written to Timothy, to you, my dear. The word literally means beloved. The word is the same word, beloved, that describes the reason Jesus went to the cross with an agape love. Agape meaning love that will spend its very life for the one you love. Like a parent would give their life for their child. This is what Timothy is on the receiving end of. And Paul, his mentor, his teacher, the one who's brought him to the faith, he's the one communicating the Father heart of God to his heart. Do you ever meet people on earth who only talk about themselves and kind of talk at you all about them? Do you ever meet people like that? It's exhausting, isn't it? Do you ever, on the other hand, meet people who care about you and want to find out about how you're going? It's totally different, isn't it? And that's the sort of person who can actually speak truth into your life, even if it's quite a tough truth. You see, Paul has got quite a tough truth for his mentee, if you like, or the one he's been discipling over the years. Timothy and Paul, they've been through a lot of stuff together. I mean, Paul's this colossus of the early church. He's been planting churches and converting thousands across the whole Roman Empire. As he's proclaimed what he's telling Timothy, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. And he's been doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit, which isn't like this, but to people across the whole Roman Empire, he's been doing it in the power of the Spirit, which is like this, pouring into people's lives. And people like Timothy and thousands of others have received the truth. Jesus is Lord. And the emperor now, it's about AD 65, he's called Nero. He doesn't like this because he thought he was Lord. So that's why Paul is now writing this letter to you, who's Timothy. He's writing this from a cold dungeon. We know it's cold because in chapter 4 of this letter, he asked Timothy to bring his cloak. Why is that? It's because he's freezing. That's basically why. We know he's in chains because that's what he says. We heard in verse 16. There are very few people left who are not ashamed of Paul's chains in this freezing prison that Nero has put him in. Put yourself in Timothy's shoes. God wants you to hear this letter direct from him, penned by Paul, who, if anybody could be wrapped up in self-pity, you might think it's him. But no, he is spending his time and the final days of his life pouring his love and his heart and his gospel truth, the gospel truth of God, into Timothy's life and heart. Timothy, who's been Paul's right-hand man over the last years, and who's seen Paul in prison and whipped and shipwrecked many times before. This letter is all about you, Timothy. It is a letter from God telling you, firstly, how passionate God is for you. And I'm like Jesus' messenger, his herald in the flesh, telling you, this is how I'm putting it, I remember you in my prayers, verse 3. I long to see you again, verse 4. What's he saying? Still missing you. Still missing you. You see, if you don't have the privilege, the honor, the blessing, the gift of having a Paul in your life, speaking that to you, the Holy Spirit, whether it's in a prayer chapel, wherever it is, he wants to get this message across to you. Still missing you. Communicating the passion of God. Passion's a good word because it might be overused, but it's a good word because it's connected to the word passion, which also means suffering. You know, what you're passionate about and who you're passionate for, you'll suffer for. Isn't that true? It is true. It is true. And God has, on a cross, suffered for you. He is suffering with Paul in his cold, chained up prison cell. And the reason God fills people with his Holy Spirit is so he can get this message to them and then out through them. You are really loved. You really are. You know, there's a God who's passionate about you. And until we've got this, I think, if you're like me, whenever we hear a sermon about Jesus' purpose for us, it'll sound like God's asking for a favor, you know. Or somehow we've got to do something to deserve God's love. He really wants us to hear this. And though Timothy is inspired and encouraged and emboldened whenever he's been in church with Paul, he's fanned into flame. Come Monday morning, he feels beaten up and kind of intimidated, where it doesn't feel like Jesus is Lord because Nero is. Do you ever feel like that? Yeah. And there are those of us here today on this bank holiday Sunday who, like Timothy, have known God's hand in our lives, who've received God's calling before, who've once upon a time been empowered. And what God's saying is exactly what he's saying to Timothy in AD 65. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Receive afresh the Holy Spirit. That's the help of Jesus to live out this great endeavor with a power that's not your own, with a love for others that's not your own, with a self-control that's from God for you. This is God's purpose for you, the God who's passionate about you. If that picture of the hot air balloon that Jenny shared earlier was for you, as it sometimes is for me, the Holy Spirit is like the gas in the hot air balloon. Not only do we have to throw things away, God wants to blow his Holy Spirit into our lives that we soar again for him. But Timothy is kind of intimidated. God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Verse 7. That's what Paul writes to Timothy. That's what God says to you and to me. If you're a Liverpool fan, I'm sorry about this. I'm only going to mention it once, and hopefully I'll get away with it. But Jurgen Klopp, when he chose his team last night, he was not asking for a favor. He really wasn't. He was saying, I am giving you the honor of being selected, of going onto the pitch. And some of them may be. This is what Mark Lawrenson said on Radio 5, so I believe him. Even the most experienced players had a degree of nerves, a spirit of timidity. And not surprisingly, because as we know, this will be my last mention, it was going to depend on their competence. And they thought, if we mess up, we're going to lose this thing. Anyway, moving on quickly from that, the whole difference between a football match and the greatest endeavor in the known universe, which is God's choosing of you, his purpose for you, is that it doesn't depend, thank God, on your competence. Because if you're like me, you come to God with a spirit of timidity, and what he wants to fan into flame into you and to me is a spirit of power that's not my power. A spirit of love that's not my love. A spirit of self-control that I can't actually muster up on my own. It's quite a daunting thing to preach your first sermon in the church where you've just been appointed a vicar. It was 7 years ago, nearly to the day. And somebody just said this good thing of truth the night before. It was my daughter actually said, it doesn't actually depend on you, Dad. I thought, oh, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. See, God's calling us to the greatest endeavor. It really is. To be an answer to the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are somewhere on a spectrum in our personalities between Timothy, who is quite a young Christian, kind of daunted by his responsibility. He's meant to look after churches that Paul has planted. He's like Paul's representative. Kind of worried. And over here, you've got Paul, who's this colossus, as I called him, of the early church. Mega gifted. Mega experienced. But even he now, at the end of his life, in his cold dungeon, chained up, he needs the encouragement that the memory of Timothy gives him. Timothy, over here, needs the encouragement that the memory and the teaching of Paul gives him. Ministering the Father heart of God to Timothy's and Paul's. Wherever you are on this personality spectrum, you need from God his Holy Spirit to be fanned into flame regularly. And I'm going to finish with this. To save this wonderful spraying of God's truth, which I guess maybe nobody can disagree with. Maybe turning it from that into God pouring his specific word into you. You see, Paul, like Timothy, even like Jesus, who once asked his disciples in his darkest hour to stay awake with him, need the ministering of God's passion and his purpose through one another. Maybe as for Timothy, through the laying on of hands. There are two different ways that whatever your specific calling, God is calling you to be a part of. Number one, he's calling you to be discipled, to be in some group or some relationship, some connection where somebody is speaking God's truth and courage into your life. Do you have that? A sermon every Sunday, God uses it, let's pray he does, but it's not the same as somebody pouring their life and God's life into you. Does this make sense? There are some of you here and others in All Saints who are traveling all over the world with God's calling. And some people I know are connected in a prayer partnership or a prayer triplet that connects with phone. But it's basically somebody who you can be real with. I mean, really real with. So you can hear from the real God, I really care about you. This isn't just some like a luxury. It's something that Jesus and Paul and Timothy are model to keep Jesus' life blazing. There are four new home groups. Two have started this last month. One's the post-Alpha group. One's about to start. Two other groups are starting next month. A small group is one way to get connected and to have God's love ministered to you. And one thing that we are just launching with Dave and Philippa Atkins and a group of us who met at their house is a discipleship model. This is a very specific thing. For those of you who are in the youth, but it could be actually anybody, a one-on-one discipleship model of one a disciple, like St. Paul, discipling another with stuff that we can give you. Some people call it mentoring. We're calling it discipling, one-on-one. Maybe God wants to speak into your life. That's what you should be a part of. You need discipling. Either way, you need to get connected with somebody. And the second thing is that you're actually called to be a discipler. And maybe God's calling you to do that by going into Brixton prison. Maybe he's calling you to do that by being one of our disciples with this youth program we're starting. Maybe he's calling you to be that simply by doing the Christ-like thing of listening to somebody and showing Jesus' care. Or simply sharing your story of what Jesus has done for you. And maybe you'll say, well, I'm not very good at that because I'm not very good with words and I don't know a lot about Jesus. Moses, a man called Moses, once said pretty much the same thing to God. It's a misunderstanding. Whatever you've received from God, you can disciple others with it. You can give it away. Jesus is looking for disciples who will disciple others, not out of their own eloquence or competence, but with what they've received from God, which is the spirit of his power and his love and his self-control. And you need to do something about that. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand. And whatever God has said to you this morning, I'm going to invite you to receive. And then if you want someone to pray into that with you, our prayer ministry team will be over here. But at the back of church, I'm going to be standing at the end of church. I always do that. And if you want to be connected, either by being a discipler, because you're intrigued by that, or discipled in a group or in a one-to-one relationship, I'll give you the details of that. Whatever way God wants to fan into flame the gift of God, whether you've received it before or never have, he wants to do that again this morning. As Jonathan and Vicky come forward now, I'm going to invite you to stand. Would you like to stand? And if you've been able to put yourself in Timothy's shoes, and if in any way you can relate to him in any situation of life, maybe a very big one, where you need a power that is not your own, a love that is not your own, a self-control, another word for which is discipline, that is not your own. I'm just going to invite you to hold out your hands in front of you as a symbolic way of saying, Lord God, I need that. Lord God, your Son Jesus came to bring your good news in the flesh to earth. That there is a power, a love, a discipline not our own that is on offer. That comes from the grace and mercy and peace of the Father heart of God. And I pray for all of us who know our need of you this morning, whatever it is, that you would fan into flame this almighty calling on our life that has nothing to do with you asking for a favor and has everything to do with the amazing purpose you hold out for us. Oh God, a life without purpose is so tragic. So awful. But you promise you have a life of purpose you hold out for us in Jesus. Would you continue to fan it into flame in us? Those of us who know your purpose but are worn out, those who had no idea what it could be, would you give it to us, Lord? You call us to be disciples and disciplers. Thank you. Thank you for really loving us and really calling us in Jesus' name.